Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. More than 2 million Californians have signed on for the removal of Newsom. Oh, yeah. The SCOTUS skunked us. California public schools want to adopt a curriculum teaching children how to worship the Aztec gods. Curious, is it not, how the progressives of today are so regressive? Curious that they will endure all sorts of negative consequences for the abuse of, well, the rights of abortion, drug use, alcohol abuse, and other violations of God's laws. But, boy, they have a zero tolerance policy for abuses of the First Amendment and Second Amendment freedoms. My friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, it's official. The SCOTUS has officially skunked us. That's an odd expression, isn't it? It's used in a variety of meanings, but I'm using it to express a sense nearer to its original use back in the 1800s. I think it was 1831, somewhere in there in New England, when it was used to speak of being overwhelmingly defeated. You know, like when, our team got skunked, lost real bad. Like the Brady Mahone matchup. Anyway, in time, the expression came to be used for someone who got taken by a deadbeat. You know, like when someone skipped town and skunked his renter or his roommate. It's used now to speak of someone that is plastered. To speak of someone who is sotted or pie-eyed or loaded or soaked or soused, you know, excessively inebriated. But while the wine-bibbers among the jurists like Kavanaugh might indeed have imbibed indulgently, you know, to null the bite of the pricks of conscience, well, that's not what I mean here. I'm using it nearer to its original use. The SCOTUS skipped out on us, left us holding the proverbial bag, which is another of those malleable American idioms, originally meaning to be left bearing responsibility for or for the guilt of some crime or error, like a scapegoat. But actually, it's another 18th century gem that conveyed the idea of being left holding an empty bag while everyone else gets away with the goodie bag. So, you know, make of an idiom what you want, since it is the nature of idioms to take their meaning from something, you know, outside of the language used to express them. Anyway, in order for them to be understood, they must have some kinship with the culture in which they're used. And all of that is to say, the SCOTUS has really skunked us, man, and left us holding the bag. The SCOTUS reeks of the foul, malodorous stink of swamp. And in our bag, we have nothing. While in theirs, they have Judas coin, an idiom for whatever reward was used to purchase their betrayal of an oath they made to the Constitution and a fidelity they owe to Lady Justice, who, thankfully, wears a blindfold, because if dear Justice was burdened to watch what these scoundrels have done to her, she would surely weep. I understand all the election fraud cases were dismissed without comment. I've not had a chance to check what Alito and Thomas said about Lady Justice's latest miscarriage. It will be interesting if neither said anything. If even these two stalwarts of constitutional law and order were as quiet as Trump has been on this one. And Lynn Wood, by the way. Yeah, Lynn Wood hasn't said anything about this so far that I can find anyway. I wonder if that, time to move on with Plan A. Military appears seems to be the only institution left standing that is not yet fully corrupted in the hands of the Antichrist spirit. That's all very strange. You know, Epoch Times reports no comment from Wood on this rejection and says the court denied hearing the case without comment, period. I can find nothing that tells me whether Alito or Thomas objected. This is eerie. It's kind of weird, you know. I mean, it's like I'm hearing that music you hear in a movie when something very, very big in terms of plot development is just about to happen. Wood has said, you know, about a week or so ago, that if the court denies hearing his case, well, that will prove the court is mostly corrupt. And if the court agrees to hear the case, well, then we'll have to wait to see if the court is mostly corrupt. That's an interesting way to put it. Was this all an exercise to determine whether the court was mostly corrupt? I mean, it's getting down to the wire. Patriots have very little left. If the states do not rise and correct this matter, there'll be nothing left but to, well, what? Go into the streets and start burning our own buildings and terrorizing our own cities? Well, no. That's what they do, and I defined them and us a few shows back. We are far more serious than that foolishness. What then? Start sniping off the bad guys one by one? No, that's what they do. That's the CIA stuff with JFK and all that. That's not our thing, man. We be patriots. We do the law and order thing. One scenario, however, is the Durham card. You know, where finally he declares his investigation complete, reveals the truth about the swamp creatures, and the people rise up to demand justice. I like Bongino's call to dance. He said, it's time to dance. I don't know if you saw his thing or not, and I can't go into it further detail. But it's true, friend, when it's time to face the music, dance. So Durham unseals the indictments, proceeds with the arrests, triggering the DS to launch their planned insurrection, releasing their rioters into the streets, because that's what they do best. And that's what they've been threatening us with all along, you know. That's what a lot of that was about, threatening us, letting us know what's coming if we don't kowtow. All the subliminal messages they're sending. They think we think like they think, but we don't. And you probably noticed it. They don't get us. They have never understood the conservative patriot. They don't understand us because they don't understand our God. You know, you can understand the Aztec culture when you understand their gods. A people become like what they worship. If they think we are going to bow down to their Moloch child-murdering monsters or their Aphrodite or, Ashtoreth, goddess of perversion, sacrificing our children to their lusts, well, we'll find they have another thing coming if we can just get the people to wake up and see this. California curriculum, this might help. California curriculum now includes indoctrination into the worship of Aztec gods that receive human sacrifice. Yeah, it's called the Ethnic Studies Model Curriculum. It's based on the pedagogy of the oppressed. And that would be the teaching methods that arise from the oppressed and for the oppressed. By the way, a Marxist, Paulo Freire, whatever, developed this curriculum or this approach. He teaches that students must be educated about their oppression in order to prepare them to throw off their oppressors. And check out where this goes. In this curriculum, Christianity is accused of something they call theocide. And I'm guessing that's the extermination of other gods. The teachers are encouraged to lead the students in prayers to the Aztec god Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca, something like that. This particular god is the one Aztecs worship with human sacrifice and cannibalism, or one of them anyway. Nice, eh? The students are led to call on this Aztec god, worship with human sacrifice and cannibalism, for the, quote, power to be warriors for social justice, end quote. I kid you not, peeps. Then the students are led in chants, you know, prayers to other Aztec gods like, Quetzalcoatl or something, and then Huitzilopochtli and Xipotec or Xipotec, whatever. You think they'd at least make these gods' names pronounceable. And from these gods, they desire to get, quote, a revolutionary spirit, end quote. And Huitzilopochtli, whatever, is the Aztec deity of war. And to get this fella to be on your side in battle, well, you have to offer a whole lot of human sacrifices. Hundreds, even thousands of human sacrifices. Many heads were sent rolling down the steps of the pyramid and Teotihuacan, Mexico. I remember climbing the bloodstained stones of the pyramid there. I think it's called the Pyramid of the Sun, or it might have been the Pyramid of the Moon, one of those. I can't remember which. Anyway, your California students in public schools will be encouraged to chant, pray to all these Aztec human sacrifice devouring gods as the gods of, quote, liberation, end quote, from the God of our fathers and of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will conclude their chanting to these false gods, shouting, Panchi Bay, Panchi Bay, or something. I can't find the pronunciation or the meaning of that expression, but I think it has something to do with their prayer request to the Aztec gods for liberation transformation. So here's the takeaway. The California public school system has become a full-blown religious indoctrination program dedicated to the Aztec gods. And the fact that these gods were worshipped by human sacrifices, and I mean hundreds of pitiful sinners rounded up and one after the other, sacrificed to the Aztec gods in order to get the power to liberate themselves from the God who gave his son to die on the cross for our sins, who does not demand human sacrifice, but made himself a sacrifice for us, who said, take, eat, this is my body. That is a God who made himself food for us rather than to make us food for him. They want to be liberated from the God who sets all men free by the truth, who created all men equal and bequeathed to all inalienable rights, who declares liberty and justice for all. And it's okay to lead our children in prayers to these other gods, these gods of the Aztecs, because, well, those are the gods that were worshipped by what they call the indigenous people, so-called, and I'll explain that another time, I have before. The fact that they offered human sacrifice to these gods, well, that's beside the point. The point is, these are the gods that the indigenous people worshipped. Do you begin to see how warped are these people? The liberation of the Aztec gods is enslavement of man. What exactly will it take to wake Californians from their liberal stupor? I should say their illiberal stupor. And look at this. The Democrats voted God out of their party a while back, remember? And now they're getting taken over by gods worshipped with human sacrifice? Are you going to allow Newsom to keep you in bondage and push forward his Antichrist agenda in our public schools? Now you understand why we see some of America's young people dancing around a burning American flag, chanting praise to the chaos God. So what's it going to take? When will we, the people, rise? Maybe Texas and about 20 other states will have to band together, separate from the United States of, how do you pronounce this in Chinese? Baizhuo. It's a Chinese slang term for white lefty ideology. Interesting. When will we rise and declare ourselves independent of the United States of Baizhuo and declare ourselves as Americans under the Constitution? You know, the United States of America. Go ahead and make Texas the seat of government and then watch as Obama's transformed America becomes an East Berlin wasteland where they will have to build a wall to keep their people imprisoned. No one's going to want to go in it, but they're going to want to get out of it because they're going to start fleeing the corrupt government of Baizhuo to find liberty in the land of the free. In any case, with the SCOTUS no longer willing to bravely stand for the Constitution, and with our public schools, at least here in California, beginning to turn fully from God to the gods of the land, the options are beginning to narrow very quickly. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. The Brain Masseur will be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. 2 million Americans plus have signed on for the removal of Newsom. Yeah. I heard that when Biden flies his plane, it's not given the Air Force One call sign. Is that true? And what's that about? You do know, and what makes that believable, and this is not hearsay, you know that when he flew to D.C. for his inauguration, he had to charter a private jet. The military would not send Air Force One for him. And I heard that Kamala is not flying around on Air Force Two. Supposedly she's buzzing about on a 347 that doesn't have the call sign there. Anyway, they're beginning to set up the transition from Biden to, well, ostensibly Kamala. I wonder who will become VP. Where is Hillary? Anyway, why are we not hearing from Hillary? You know, I think she's hiding. That's my opinion about that. And I'll develop that some more tonight in my visit. Anyway, I ended the first segment pondering some scenarios in which God will deliver us from these oppressors. You know, God did promise to raise a banner against the enemy that comes in like a flood. Then, so I'm looking for it. You know, are you the type of person who prays for something and then actually expects God's going to hear you and do something? Well, I've prayed God will raise up that promised banner against this enemy that's come in and like a flood against our liberties. So I'm looking for it. And when I see it, I'm going to rally around it. You know, maybe we oust Newsom. Maybe California finally wakes up and sees these devil-worshipping antichrists for what they are and return to the God of our fathers. Because ultimately, that's what we need. We need revival. Let's rid ourselves of these godless communists, get our elections back, reestablish our republic under God, and deliver California politics from the control of these densely populated areas, Los Angeles and San Francisco, you know, the fly-from counties. Okay, let's look at another brilliant brain massage insight that will, I'm sure, clarify things for you. The devil's leading this country right now. Enslave us through fear. God said, fear not. God said he has not given us a spirit of fear. So where does it come from? They create a panic and then use it to gain greater control of the people. You could take this plandemic as an example. The CDC lately came out with a report about masks. It was released, I think, last Friday. CDC submitted a report that effectively admits that the mask mandate was ineffective for public mitigation. The CDC reported that the mask mandate resulted in a less than 2% decrease in COVID case growth when 100 days after the mask mandate are compared to 100 days before it. And yet, the CDC continues to advise that we wear the mask. So, masks don't work, but we think you should continue wearing one. Why would that be? The CDC already answered that question about 4 weeks ago. They said masks help people remember that there is a pandemic. Or, like Fauci said, masks are largely symbolic. See, they're manipulating. They are hurting you and hurting you while doing it. And by the way, this agrees with what I saw in the RCTs on the efficacy of masks to mitigate transmission of a virus. I examined 17 randomized control trials, which is a scientific study that tests a theory, such as the efficacy of masks to mitigate the spread of a virus. I studied 17 of these and ran down the attending documentation on each one. That took about, I don't know, I can't remember the exact numbers here, but 12 or so that were done before COVID came online. You know, when they were trying to determine the efficacy of masks for colds, flu, you know, and some that were done during SARS-1 were included in this group. And then I found a few that were done after COVID came online. And I noticed that every RCT done before COVID-19 laid out all their findings. I mean, you know, what tests they used, the actual results of their tests. And by that, I mean, how many particles of virus escaped this mask as opposed to that mask and in this situation or that and so on. And then they offered a summary of their findings and included in their conclusion their recommendations. Every pre-COVID RCT concluded with a strong recommendation against using masks as a public mitigation strategy. And every early post-COVID RCT, that is after COVID got online in the earlier days of that, these tests concluded with not recommended until it became public policy. And then suddenly, when the politicians weighed in, suddenly the scientists all lined up behind them. Isn't that interesting? All of a sudden, the recommendations began to say, first, equivocally, stuff like, well, you know, masks might help. Masks can help with an equivocating recommendation to wear masks, or more often they would just simply state CDC recommends it, or this or that recommends it, or it's this or that policy in this or that place. But not one of these studies said that the science shows clearly that masks are an effective public safety mitigation strategy for curbing the spread of any virus, including COVID-19. And I noticed something else that was quite intriguing. The post-COVID RCTs, randomized controlled trials, looked virtually identical to the pre-COVID RCTs in every respect. You know, the methods used, the results of the tests, all the numbers were very nearly identical in terms of how many particles got through this or that mask and all of that. It was virtually the same, very little variation. Even the conclusions were virtually identical, but here's where I saw a difference. It was in the recommendations. That's the only place that there was a difference. In the post-COVID mask mandate consensus phase, every study recommended wearing masks. None said masks would protect you, but each said something like might, may, can in some cases, always some qualifier, but ended up saying masks are recommended as a public policy for mitigation, or that this or that organization says you should wear it, and so on. In other words, when it became a political thing, it suddenly got scientific support. Isn't that dangerously backwards? And now we learn this move from masks, not recommended as a public mitigation policy, to masks recommended or actually mandated as a public mitigation strategy. Interestingly, this corresponds real close to the email communications we lately got released and looked at between the WHO, World Health Organization, and the NIH, National Institute of Health, with China, you know, where China was putting pressure on these organizations and who, right? They own that anyway. And NIH, that's Fauci's thing. China was putting pressure on these organizations to direct mitigation strategies according to their policies. So now, the latest from CDC is a report that reveals that when we compare pre-mask mandate to post-mask mandate COVID case count, the mask mandate was a statistical wash. Statistically, in other words, the masks made no difference. Julie Kelly tweets, quote, "This study basically admits mask mandates and restaurant openings have a negligible impact on the spread of COVID." And she asked, "Did anyone at CDC read their own report?" End quote. Red pill people knew this all along. Yeah, but that's because some of us, you know, actually like read the randomized controlled trials. And we went to the science, and we saw that the science showed consistently masks do not protect from transmission or infection from anything so small as a virus. One such study, American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, came out with the report titled Mask Facts. They tested the whole thing and proved once again, it's getting redundant here, but proved once again, the masks do not stop viruses. The doctors reported, this is the reason, everybody, that we have never mandated masks in the past during flu season. It's because they don't work that we have shown this monster called government that we will comply with ridiculous controls if only they can make us afraid of getting sick. Well, they will come up with another panic to scare us into submission. And whatever power they get over you, they never let it go. Newsom is already saying, there's no going back to normal, ever. Well, maybe if we get rid of you, we can get back to normal. You see, they manufactured, manipulated statistics and then used them to gin up the scare narrative. Now, here's another example. There was a report prepared January 2021 on the, and it's called The Role of Telecommunications in Hate Crimes. The report declares there is no evidence of a causal relationship between the growth of internet usage and hate crimes. The evidence does not show that during the last decade, a time of explosive growth of electronic communication, particularly on the internet and mobile devices, as well as social media, is in any way related to a rise in hate crime incidents. This report warns that efforts to clamp down on online communication over unfounded concerns about hate crimes will undermine First Amendment values. The report also criticizes academic extremism in which researchers make unfounded claims with no scientific support. It's like Fauci said, When we have no data to support a conclusion, well, we just have to make it up. Okay. Well, what he actually said was, we have to make a judgment call. Do you understand what's going on here? You're being manipulated. Do you trust the judgment of a man who was working on gain of function research? And do you know what that is? Taking a virus and making it, you know, like more viral? And that this kind of research was considered so threatening to national security, it was shut down by the Congress. And this man used his excellent judgment to transfer that research to a lab in Wuhan to continue the work. So you trust that guy. Do you trust the judgment of a fellow who hangs out with Gates? Who's on record saying, we got to reduce the population? Yeah. Do you trust the judgment of a guy who stands to gain financially by the spread of this virus and the sale of the vaccine that he has a hand in? Do you trust the judgment of a liar who admitted that the mask thing was about manipulating the people, manipulating the herd? See, you're a cow in his mind, part of the herd. Anyway, the report offers blistering condemnation on tech corporations who use hate speech panic as an excuse to abridge free speech rights on their platforms. Get it? Create panic, make people afraid, and then they'll just hand their liberties over to you. Now, here's the blindingly brilliant missile of insight that I promised you. It has acquired, and it's incoming. Interesting, is it not, that liberals insist we endure a certain amount of negatives that arise from alcohol abuse in our culture? Why? Because, well, you just got to live with that to maintain the right to market alcohol. They despise prohibition against alcohol, but they champion prohibition against our First and Second Amendment rights. They insist that freedom to use alcohol outweighs any concerns about the devastation caused by its abuse. And by the way, this is real devastation, measurable. It's observable. Today's progressive likewise insists the right to sexual freedom outweighs the devastating consequences of promiscuity among our teens. 3 million annual cases of STDs among our young people every year. Or the fact that homosexuality is fraught with a myriad of diseases, some unique to that behavior, by the way, and many directly exacerbated by that behavior. And, you know, that it's well known an active homosexual's life expectancy is about half of his heterosexual counterpart. But, hey, listen, the freedom to engage in this behavior and to promote it in our community, in our schools, to our children, well, that's so important. Look, we all must just learn to live with these negatives. But when it comes to the First Amendment, you know, and the Second Amendment, well, they constantly harp on every negative consequence that arises from these freedoms when they're abused. You see, so the right to disobey God's laws must be protected at all costs, to whatever cost it is to the individual, whatever cost it is to society at large. Accept it as a necessary price to pay in order to protect what they call liberty. But the divinely endowed rights that are given to us by God, we've got to control those. And the excuse that's used is the danger to society from abuse of those rights. I hope you wake up. Is the union headed for a division? Yep. And more on that in my live stream visit tonight, Comfort and Counsel for the Present Distress. Check out our Facebook page, like it, set up for notifications, and you'll get notified when I go on. Come visit me in church, the Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'll be preaching on the subject of revival in our time. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.